Some shows lean left, some lean right, but we lean local and business. This is North Georgia Business Radio X with Phil Bonelli. For the next hour, we will celebrate the businesses in our area and the people that run them. Find us on Facebook at North Georgia Business Radio X and online at NorthGeorgiaBusinessRadioX.com. Now, here's Phil Bonelli.
It's been said that knowledge is power. And isn't that true? In your business, don't you need knowledge? Market knowledge, knowledge of your craft, and you need knowledgeable employees. We're going to talk about how we can craft a knowledgeable workforce and some amazing resources in our community doing just that today on the show. Welcome, Dr. Mary Gowan, Dean of the Mike Cottrell College of Business at the University of North Georgia, the Senior Military College of Georgia. That might be a mouthful, and let me tell you, it doesn't even come close to scratching the surface of the amazing things that Dr. Gowan does, but we're going to dive into that today. And then we also have the effervescent, just wonderful, delight to be around, Rose Proctor. And Rose, I'm going to have to ask you to share your titles, because it's been added to. I know you as the resource, the overseer of the college or the Ethical Leadership School, Truist Now Ethical Leadership School at the University of North Georgia, the Senior Military College of Georgia. But there's so much more to you than that. Tell us.
Plus, she's Dr. Rose Proctor.
Dr. Proctor.
It's true. Yes. So I'll give you my official titles, as you mentioned. So I'm the director for the Truist Center for Ethical Leadership. We are housed in the Mike Cottrell College of Business at the University of North Georgia. I also serve in a dual capacity with the University System of Georgia as the Associate Director for Ethics and Compliance. So just means lots of ethics and leadership discussions, proactive, and then unfortunately from time to time, reactive as well at the system level. But really exciting stuff that we're working on with our students and employees.
And driving back and forth to Atlanta a lot.
This is true.
Yes.
And amongst our five campuses, you know, UNG services a 32-county region area, and we have five different campuses that serve our local and regional community.
Yes.
So
Thank
lots
you.
Of driving. Mary's right.
Lots of driving. Lots of phone time.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Thinking time.
Yes, gotta which is positive. That. That's a good thing.
Well, I've got to say, I'm so thankful for you to be here, because I have lived in North Georgia almost exclusively for the last 18 years, I suppose. No, more than that. 25 years. Anyway, I love North Georgia. It's my home. And what UNG does for our community is amazing. We kind of take for granted what a phenomenal resource we have, having the University of North Georgia here. And particularly myself as a business person, a fan of business and local business. So happy to have such a great business school here.
Thank you.
So, Dr. Gow, if you could tell us a little bit about the Cottrell College of Business.
Absolutely. Well, I'm in my fifth year as a dean. It's gone very, very fast. And we've been really focused on upping our game with our students to make sure they're prepared for the workforce that's needed in the state of Georgia and beyond. We have an amazing cybersecurity program. We've been the NSA Codebreaker Challenge winner twice, and we're in the lead right now for this year. When we've won, we've come ahead of Georgia Tech as our next highest competitor several times by a fairly large ratio.
She's just a little proud of that.
We're just a little proud of that. But cybersecurity, there's over 700,000 jobs open across the country in cybersecurity, and many, many jobs open, thousands in Georgia. So we feel like that's one of our really significant programs in the college. A little unusual to have the College of Computer Science and Cybersecurity in the College of Business. But we see it as a good match because we help bring technology into our business programs, and we also bring some business into our technology programs. So we see that as a win-win. We also have excellent programs in logistics. That's one of our growing programs, recognizing the workforce needs in this area in particular. SciFund Logistics has been a huge partner for us, and so we're one of two schools in the country that has the premier software for logistics, McLeod software, in our lab in the College of Business. We also have our finance students learning to use the Bloomberg terminals, so that's going to be ready to walk into the workplace in any kind of banking industry or financial industry with a greater knowledge about how the markets work. We have our first student-managed investment fund starting this year.
Wow.
With a $50,000 gift from three alums. And this gives our students that opportunity to go into the lab and not just simulate what would be happening, but they're going to be responsible for making sure that they have a good return on investment and try to beat our foundation and what their return on investment is as well. So that's a lot of schools have had these, and we're just getting them, but we're really excited about these opportunities. We have a terrific professional sales program where our students have won a number of competitions, and our accounting program is always strong. Regional employers love our accounting students, and we're reaching out. We have some more of the students going into the Big Four firms as well. We have reinstated our business leadership track in our management degree program. It's a concentration. And that's because we are also, in addition to being the senior military college, we're also a leadership institution in Georgia. We know the business school has a large part to play in fostering this leadership training, leadership experiences for our students. And so we've just started the Cottrell Leadership Fellows Program, which is a select group of about 10 students. We're going to grow it to 15 sophomores, juniors, and seniors who are going to go through a series of leadership experiences and trainings across their time and end up leading a leadership initiative for the college and for the university that will give them an extra something on their resume, but also will be setting them up to be role models for developing leadership skills in others of our students. I could go on and on, but I'll take a breath right there.
I tell you what, when I hear this, and I love you, you open it up by mentioning your goal was to up the game as far as workplace readiness.
Yes.
And in all these things you've shared, the word that comes to mind is relevance.
Yes.
So relevant.
Very important.
When I think of North Georgia, and really across the country, but particularly in North Georgia, and I love that you really are tailoring it to our needs.
Very much so.
Regionally.
Yes.
Logistics.
Yes.
Huge.
Mm-hmm.
And growing with the inland port and the growth of this area, logistics will be more and more important. Accounting. We need more accounting students, top accounting students. The Bloomberg Terminal. I was a finance major. I've been in finance since I graduated college.
Yeah.
I've never even seen a Bloomberg terminal.
You can come over and we'll show you one.
All right.
We'll actually let you play with it.
All right. I'm going to check that out.
Okay. We have those on our Gainesville and on our Dahlonega campus.
Okay.
Yes.
And the cybersecurity piece, I think it's so wise of you to combine that with business because in my banking practice, I mean, there's not much we talk about more than that.
Mm-hmm.
The cybersecurity, it's such a big deal. And I think it ties in both with the business aspect and the military college aspect.
Very much so. We have a lot of our students, our cadets, that are focusing on cybersecurity for their career. Because if they decide not to commission, they have the opportunity to go into a number of the three-letter agencies. We have a very, very strong relationship with the NSA, so much so that they reached out and asked us to develop a compliance and ethics curriculum and provided the funds for us to do that. So right now, and Rose is a part of that initiative, I worked with a team of faculty and staff, practitioners, and academics to develop the program. We have full tuition scholarships for this coming summer for our graduate certificate program in compliance and ethics.
Wow.
And that's been a really exciting program. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something that really, you mentioned locally and regionally, people are looking for ethics and compliance professionals because of what you talked about, right? That relevance, emerging technologies. There's so much critical thinking, even from an ethical aspect, that needs to be considered as we think about, you know, this data-driven landscape that we're in, cyber being one piece of that, but then also new emerging technologies like artificial intelligence, like virtual reality integration into the workforce, those types of things. So that certificate, I think, both at the undergraduate and graduate level, adds a lot of value to the region.
I love that. Yeah. And I was blown away when I first learned about the ethical leadership in business school.
Mm-hmm.
I want to dive into that and then share a funny ethical leadership story right after we get back from this break on North Georgia Business Radio X with the University of North Georgia. Right is right and wrong is wrong. But who determines what's right and what's wrong in the ever more complex and changing environment of business with AI, different cultural trends in business and thoughts. But how do you create a logical framework for your employees and leaders to think ethically about their decisions? Well, thank goodness, the University of North Georgia, Georgia's premier military college, has a ethical leadership and business school. Welcome back to North Georgia Business Radio X with Dr. Gowan and Dr. Proctor. Dr. Proctor, or Rose, tell us about the School of Ethical Leadership, because I love that it's there. I've gotten to be involved in different capacities a little bit with it, and I had never heard of that at a university before, and I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, we are excited. We have a focus there. We had a great partner in Truist, so it is namesaked after them in the center, the Truist Center for Ethical Leadership. It's housed in the Mike Cottrell College of Business, but it services all five campuses and all of the University of North Georgia throughout the region. So to your point, I think people think of ethics, like you mentioned, about what's right or wrong. But we also want to focus on what you were talking about, critical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Using ethics as a framework in considering different perspectives of what would be right or wrong, right, how we should approach different decisions.
Talk about what we're doing in our business law classes now.
Yeah, so as Mary mentions, we've brought this in so that every student that graduates from the College of Business has a focus on not only ethical leadership, but ethics awareness and reasoning for them as an individual. So as a part of our assurance of learning, they'll go through different segments and sections. The first one is ethics awareness. So my own self-awareness of where I kind of see ethics, what I believe to be right and wrong personally. But then we kind of expand beyond that and take that into the actual workforce and put them in ethics exercises that they'll be faced with probably, you know, we hope later rather than sooner. But we find within the first three to five years after graduation, they are placed in some of these different scenarios about making decisions that a policy may not exactly tell you what's right or wrong. So it's not so black and white. You've got to make judgment calls, and you're considering a wealth of different stakeholders as you make those judgment calls. So for us at the university, you know, we make decisions that impact, of course, first and foremost, our students. But we also make decisions that impact, like you mentioned, the local and regional community and beyond, our faculty and staff, our administrators, our parents, even our taxpayers, right? Because we are a state institution. And so as we're considering different programming, it takes a lot to kind of come to the best ethical choice of how you're going to roll something out that can really be beneficial to our students and to the region, like our logistics and supply chain management. We know that's a topic that our region needs, but what do you provide and to who and on what campuses? And, you know, what do the concentrations within that look like? So this ethics framework is something that we embed so that all graduates from the College of Business have that exposure on a personal level, going through an actual individual ethical lens inventory. So this is for our listeners like a Myers-Briggs, like a personal assessment, but for your ethics.
And one of the interesting things about this is when we rolled this out 2 years ago, ChatGPT was not even a term that rolled off of our tongues. But now it's so much a part of what our students are dealing with and having to make choices about. So it's not really needing to wait till they graduate before they start using this awareness. It's immediate. It's day to day for them now when they're pushed up against a deadline and they have to make a decision. It's not, am I going to cheat off somebody else? It's, or Google something, it's, am I going to use this to actually do my work for me? So it's created a really interesting, and having the computer science and cyber program in our college, we've been able to bring some of those faculty in to do some training with all of our faculty to talk about what the tools are, and then how can you use those tools in an effective way and teach students the value of them and the downsides of them, as opposed to just letting them use them and then catch them for using them and get them punish them in some way. So we think the timing could not have been better for us to roll out this new ethics awareness initiative in the college.
And as Mary mentions, you know, I think one of the complexities is even how we use those tools.
Right.
So based on the perspective that I enter into ChatGPT, it is going to provide me a response.
Right.
And so we want our students to be able to critically think through what question would best be posed to get the information back out. And so we want them to be able to think critically and ethically about the different perspectives they even put in the question that they ask in ChatGPT, because how we load data can create bias, can create disinformation. AI is only as strong as what we put into it. And so we're challenging them to really think through. It really is based on how well you can critically think about different perspectives to pose the prompts in AI to be able to assist you as a valid tool. So that's a big part of what we're doing in the College of Business right now around ethics.
And we're particularly proud of what the center does for outreach in the community. So Rose, why don't you talk a little bit about what we do with the B program and then some of the things that you've done with corporations and other institutions as well.
Yeah, as Phil mentioned, he's been a part of those programs. We have a pretty widespread high school programming in K-12. So Mary mentioned B. What is that? It is building ethical employability. So a lot of businesses around the state at the time were approaching the Georgia Department of Labor saying, look, they are well-versed in accounting and logistics and these types of things. They've got the competence. But the challenge is some of these employability skills and some of their decision-making processes of what they are and aren't considering in their critical thinking or problem-solving skills, or the lack thereof.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were approached to partner with the Georgia Department of Labor early on about, you know, the different feedback that came from those businesses. And so there was a lot of different characteristics around employability skills, ethics and critical thinking being a huge piece of it. So we built the Building Ethical Employability Program alongside what's called Georgia Best, the Business Employability Skills Training, which is statewide. At the University of North Georgia, we house the curriculum for that. It is sent out to almost 2,500 teachers in 158 of our high schools counties, including almost 400 of our high schools, but in 158 of our counties across Georgia. So it's had a really big impact. But for our local region, we wanted to go beyond that and not just say, hey, here's what you should do, but here's how we're going to help you do it. So we bring them to one of our five different campuses and actually immerse them in a day of building ethical employability, which is what Mary's talking about in the B program. So we have a lot of counties that are members of the center. Their students come, they get a campus tour. They get to interact with our college students and our faculty and staff on important topics around decision-making, ethical framework, critical thinking, but also in team building. We do a little bit of lecture, but mostly activity-driven, experience-driven. Because at least at the high school, I don't know if you remember high school, Phil, but it was pretty hard to focus at that age and really retain knowledge and information. You started our segment about knowledge. So we want them to leave with knowledge that they can use right back in the classroom the next day, but then also on their jobs. A lot of our high schools students are already working in our region. So we want them to be able to take those employability skills back right after the training on our campuses.
And that fits really well with what we do in the college, because we want students to get the theory, the knowledge about the topics that they're studying, but we also want them to get practice and hands-on application. And so that's why we have the labs we have in our new building in Dahlonega, and we're working on things in Gainesville. We have tools for students to use that they've not had before. So they're going to be able to go right in the workplace and in many cases have experience working in an environment that looks like the environment they'll work in the have in the workplace. So they are able to hit the ground running. And we find that's a real advantage for our employers.
Oh, most definitely. And all of this, again, is so I love that practical piece.
You're it's very not, important.
Yeah. These students are not just going to walk out with something to hang on the
right.
wall. You want them to really be able to go and produce. I want to dig in after this break on one thing that really stood out to me, which when I think of something I want employees, certainly I want them to desire to make ethical decisions. But I love that you help provide them with the framework and really allow them to use it on being able to make judgment calls.
Yes.
Because I don't need to be hand-holding all my employees. I need them to be able to think critically and have those tools in their toolbox. So we'll dive in with that right after this break on North Georgia Business Radio X. Holding hands is great on a date. It's not so great when you have to do it with your employees day in and day out. Welcome back to North Georgia Business Radio X. I'm your host, Phil Benelli, here with Dr. Rose Proctor and Dr. Mary Gowan of the University of North Georgia, the premier military college of Georgia, which is the greatest state in this great union, which is the greatest country in the world. And this world is the only place that I know that has people in the universe. So it's kind of the best military college in the universe, if I may say so myself, which I just did. Anyway, back to hand-holding and the lack thereof. We touched on it a little bit before the break. We want employees who are empowered, who have the knowledge and desire to fulfill their jobs. And you are preparing people for that. There's so many things you're doing with hands-on practicality. But also, I cannot achieve any business objective of increasing sales or profitability or production at the expense of ethics, or I have failed. And for my employees to be able to have a framework, to have the skills to make ethical judgment calls, what a gift that is. So break it down for us a little bit more, Rose, on what that looks like, what the tools, you know, how you empower students and employees to make those judgment calls.
Before the break, we talked a little bit about our high school students and inside the university. But external to our community, we also offer a wide variety of different programs. So you mentioned judgment calls. It is a skill.
Mm-hmm.
We don't focus on critical thinking as much as maybe we should, right? Mm. We focus on competency and the knowledge base, like you mentioned. But it's just like muscle memory in a physical sport. Being able to concisely consider different viewpoints and perspectives at different stakeholder levels, and then really challenge ourselves in that framework to say, so what? What's the impact long-term and short-term of that decision? Mm. So something that might be okay short-term could be completely a wrong decision long-term. And so you've seen this play out in a lot of large and small businesses, and even in our government space, media, lots of different places around making decisions that weren't critically or well thought through to get to a most ethically mature decision. So inside the Truist Center for Ethical Leadership, we have a focus on a couple of different offerings. So the first one is Building Ethical Leaders. It's a leadership development program that literally provides people with an ethical lens inventory. That's the assessment before the break that we talked about. It's kind of like your personality assessment, but for your ethics. Mm. Where do I start when I think of something as right or wrong? Mm. Where do I lean in on certain values of loyalty versus honesty? Because at some point, you're probably going to be challenged to pick, am I going to be loyal or honest in a situation when it comes to profit or sales or making a new partnership or even using or not using a new emerging technology? So as we think about those things, it exposes the participants in the BEL or Building Ethical Leaders program to that assessment, provides them a personalized framework. So your framework looks different than mine. I have a very different textbook. We've had different experiences, a different life. And so as we pull from our textbooks, things that we prioritize in our values and how that looks in our decision process look differently.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, if we are using similar frameworks, we can really critically think through first a responsibilities lens of structurally, what do I need to think about? This is like laws and policies and very important things of like, is it legal? But also results oriented. So this is, you know, for my philosophy and theorists out there, a very utilitarianism or consequential. And these are big words that just mean outcomes.
Mm.
And then also in relationships. So our communities, local and all the way to the world, like you were talking about, are having hard conversation about what is fair. What does fairness actually look like in a business decision and how we interact with our consumers? So in a relationship lens, you're having those types of conversations about fairness and equality. And then finally, the virtue ethics lens, which is really focused on reputation. So branding is a big thing. Just personal branding, as I know you've presented on before, but also for our companies and our organizations. And so reputation is big, but impact. So this is the short term, long term. So there are individual questions to challenge our brains. Mm. So if I'm not a naturally results oriented person, I can actually have three or four questions that can push my mind in that direction as I'm making a decision. So that's kind of what we work on heavily in the center as some of our professional development. At the same time, you're just one person in your organization. So the ethical culture indicator, which is an organizational survey assessment, starts to give you a lens of the ethical culture for the organization as a whole. So not mm-hmm. just Phil Bonelli, but for your entire company. What does that look like? It's almost like getting blood work done to say, hey, we've got some really great things going on over here, but here's some areas that we may want to focus on around training or different opportunities in our organization. Or once in a while, we may have an issue that we may need to weed out. And then finally, we're also working on things around leadership effectiveness. So ethics is one piece of leadership effectiveness, but we're working on lots of different effectiveness tools in the College of Business. So we've developed a new leadership effectiveness 360 evaluation. So this is exactly what you think, a 360 evaluation where you're evaluated up, down, and across, but leaning into the ethics piece of that. And then finally, entrepreneurial mindset. So outside of my center, right, where we focus on ethical leadership across all of our different majors, we also focus on entrepreneurial mindset, making sure that our students are graduating with that. And so I'll throw it back over to Dean Gowan to give a little bit of information about the tools around entrepreneurship that we're focusing on as well.
And real quick, Dean Gowan, before you do, let me just ask. So there's a lot of different resources, and I know that applies for students. If I'm a business out there, is there a way for me to plug in and kind of get my, there's a way for my leaders to get involved yes. with this?
Absolutely. All of those that I just mentioned, the Bell, the ECI, LE360, most of those are actually external to our university. Mm. Now, of course, we integrate them into our college classes to benefit our college students just as much, but a lot of our programming is external to the community leaders.
I love this. And, a big word, which you didn't specifically say, but which was encapsulated in everything you said, is holistic. Both from how I look at decisions and how they're going to impact all the stakeholders, mm-hmm. As well as looking at my whole organization. And I love that. And the more that we have these technological tools, which we need to think through the ethical implications of, also, they are replacing a lot of work, but they cannot replace human judgment and ethics. And so it's even more imperative as we march forward into this future that we have employees and leaders who have this training and this framework. So kudos to you all for doing that. I tell you, I began my career at what was then BB&T, and I loved the mission and values. And it is no surprise to me that that organization funded this program.
That's correct.
So wonderful. And I have seen in my working career the impacts of both solid and subpar ethics. And it's a big deal. So I would encourage you, all our listeners out there, get your leaders and plugged in this and give them the tools that they need to help you have the company that you want. Because there's nothing that can supplant quality ethics. And, you know, it all sounds good and everyone thinks they'd make the best decision when things are nice and cozy. But when the rubber meets the road and there's deadlines and there's stress and there's issues, if you don't have the right tools and skill set and framework, who knows what's going to happen?
Well, a lot of times we find ourselves, you know, with people questioning, say, hey, Phil, did you think of this? And you're sitting on the other side like, I did not.
Right?
I did not consider this before I made that decision. And so it isn't even just, you know, making a wrong choice. Mm. It's making a choice where, you know, your brain wasn't given the skills and the framework to say, hey, I should ask these critical questions before I move forward. And as we get into a more global and diverse society where we are taking in a lot of different perspectives around our decision making, it's more important than ever.
I taught our graduate leadership and motivation class last year. And I used a different approach than I'd used before. It was using leadership by design and bringing design thinking into your role as a leader.
Oh, I love that.
One thing that really resonated with the students, and I heard it over and over again, was when you really start with thinking about not you as a leader and what your style is, which is the traditional way of teaching leadership, but thinking about the other and how you approach the other, that was pretty major for many of the students in the class to reconsider what they were doing. And I think that's what Rose is getting at, is thinking about the other.
Let's pick back up on thinking about the other right after this break on North Georgia Business Radio X. Where does it all begin? Well, every business that you see out there began somewhere. It took an entrepreneur, maybe like some of you listening, to have the guts and the vision and the perseverance to start something, create it, sustain it. Welcome back to North Georgia Business Radio X. We're here with Dr. Gowan and Dr. Proctor of the University of North Georgia, and I want to hear about the entrepreneurship program. I was going to Dahlonega the other day. It's a lovely town. If you're listening, you haven't been to Dahlonega, by the way.
Oh.
Clear your calendar.
One of the best small towns in the country.
It's beautiful. It's about time to film some Hallmark Christmas movies on the
time
square.
Time for another one. Yep.
Mm. But I drove by I forget what it was called. It was a entrepreneurship or a business incubator. The Launchpad. I love that.
Yes.
Tell us about the entrepreneurship.
Great. That's one of my passions as well. We have a new director coming in December 1st to be our new director of our Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation. Our previous person retired about a year ago, and so we've taken some time to figure out direction. But this person is coming from, his name is Chris Green, and he's coming from Crested Butte, Colorado.
Beautiful.
Where he has a lot of experience himself as a what we call a lifestyle entrepreneur, running the most successful B&B in Colorado for about 5 or 6 years straight. So he understands that he's the kind of region he's coming to with North Georgia and all the tourism that we have in the area. But he's also been a professor of entrepreneurship at a university out there, has started an entrepreneurship program before, and it's going to be able to take ours to a whole new level. We were very fortunate back late summer to receive a very large grant from Google to map the entrepreneurial ecosystem in our city and region in collaboration with our Chamber of Commerce and Regional Economic Development Authority and local schools. So he will be kicking off that for us. We'll be having a lot of programming, startup meetups for entrepreneurs in the area, bringing students from the university and entrepreneur wannabes and entrepreneurs from the region together. And we see this as a great opportunity for the university to step up even more its impact on the region. We know that there's a lot of people who have ideas and just don't know what to do with them. And so we want to help them be able to take those ideas from that germ of an idea, develop it out, see what's reasonable, know what the resources are in the area, and then be able to start a functioning business through incubators and accelerators that we have. So I think it's a really pivotal time for us. We're fortunate to have the front space on Chastity. That was something that I was very excited when we got in. We decided not to move it to our new building because we wanted it to be that town and gown place where people could come in off the street. And we found that having it there, we have more students from across campus, not just business students. So we have a group of students who won our Innovate UNG competition this past year, who went on to work with an entrepreneurship organization in Alpharetta, Thai Alpharetta. They were one of 8 finalists in a competition, and one of the students got hired to work for a startup.
Wow.
And the some investors took notice of what the students were doing. And so this is a story that we've had over and over again. We just haven't told it loudly enough, and so we're going to start doing that. We've got a lot of things going on that we appreciate having this opportunity to share a little bit of our story, because we know we need to be shouting it a little bit louder than
we
do.
Gotta shout it. And it's funny. Over the break, we were talking about sales.
Yes.
And you mentioned you're not a saleswoman.
No.
But Rose mentioned how, when it's something you're passionate about, when discussing with alumni and for development, you're so passionate.
Yes.
That spills out.
Yes.
And that's what sales is. I know so many people are like, oh, I can't do sales. Well, it's not being a pushy, quote-unquote, used car salesman.
Right.
It's, I have something of value.
Right.
I believe in my soul. This is so valuable, and I want to share it with people who could benefit from it to present them with that opportunity. And I'm not gonna be pushy if they don't want to participate. That's fine. but it's great. Yeah. And if people don't know,
right,
they need to know. So thank you for banging that gong for us here on the show today. I am a huge fan of the University of North Georgia, and I just think it's a great resource. And this is a tremendous region with so much continued upside potential, and so much of it is because of you all.
Yeah, and we're a best value university, so students can come and graduate with not a lot of debt, which is not the case in many other institutions around the country. And so we're very proud of that. We offer a very high quality program, but we also understand students don't need to walk out the door with a lot of debt to start off with. And so we've honored that. We've continued to honor that. And I think our new president's focus on workforce development and finding some other areas where we really can extend our outreach is the right direction for us to be going.
Amen. Well, and I love that because I did not graduate from college with much debt. And I also graduated with a degree, which could pay for what it needed to pay for. If I applied myself, of course. And so many students, I hate when I hear the sob stories of folks who have all this student debt. And I think, well, that was a poor decision. However, they very well may not have had the thought process or the knowledge to know. And so you're putting them in a position where even if you don't know how to make wise financial decisions, you'd be hard-pressed to get into a whole lot of debt going to UNG.
Absolutely.
All right, economic impact on the region, $737 million.
Yes.
Annual economic impact on the region, tremendous. And there's so many things you're doing. Do we know of the graduates of UNG, how many stay in the region? Do we have a way to track that?
It's in the high 80s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, fantastic.
I want to say 85 to 88, somewhere are the numbers that I heard recently, stay in the general region.
That's a big part of when I recommend students going to UNG. That's a big part of what I think of. If you want to live in this area, so much of what you get in college, particularly for a business person, is your network.
Right.
And you're building a network where you want it to be. If I went to Yale, now I'm building my network there.
Or you're building a national network, and that won't help you in the local many times. Right.
And why would you spend all that money when you can get something just as good or better as a Nighthawk? I mean, let's get real.
And I think that's where students struggle with making decisions about colleges, because they will go for the prestige, and there's nothing wrong with prestige. So I've taught at some very prestigious universities.
You do right now. You're a dean at one.
I do right now. And we offer the same quality of education as the schools where I taught that cost a whole lot more money. And I think we also have the focus on the students and student success, and that only increases every day at the university, that we talk more and more about student success and what that means and how do we prepare students so that they're entering the workforce with again, not just the skills and knowledge and application, but also how to be a professional in the workplace, because we do have a lot of first-gen students.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of students come from other countries, and they may not have the awareness of what today's workplace requires.
Sure.
And so that is certainly through our professional development program that we have, something we've spent a lot of time and energy talking about.
Mm. If I am a business leader out there listening and I think, wow, I need to take some steps to get more UNG graduates on my payroll.
Call us. Yeah, reach out. We have a person in the College of Business, Robbie Utz, whose job is to be Director of Engagement and Student Professional Development, and she's amazing. She's really does a great job connecting with employers, so can call my office. We'll get you connected with Robbie or reach out to her directly. And we love getting new internship opportunities for our students. Mm. We're creating more of an internship culture among our students.
Mm.
And so I think with the preparation we're giving them, the readiness for them to go in the workplace, the opportunity for them to get course credit as well as get paid for an internship, because I would say 98% of our internships are paid internships. And you can get credit and get paid now. Used to could not, but can now. We have more and more students that will be doing internships.
I love it. All right. So if you are out there listening, there is so much that you've been given today from our wonderful guests. If you're a business leader, I want to reiterate the importance of a few key things. First off, reach out to Ms. Robbie Utz or just call the business school.
Right.
They've got resources to help you get interns and graduating students to help drive your business.
Yes.
Those students, you can feel sure, hey, They might be 21 and 22 years old, but they have been prepared to perform in the workplace.
And some of them are older because we have a lot of non-traditional students, but they're looking for new opportunities as well.
All right. And reach out to the College of Ethical Leadership as well for resources for not just students, but employees. Now, quick lightning round, Dr. Gowan. Three things we should end with a freestyle rap about. Any three things you want. You're the boss.
Students, success, and ethics.
Okay. All right. Yo, the students, the hawks of the night, if they don't do it with ethics and they cannot do it right. We need success in your same marketplace and your job, then you need to get Nighthawks up in your face. UNG, the best college that you could get around. Thank you for having Dr. Gowan to throw it down. Rose Proctor, always a pleasure to have you with. Hey, if you go with UNG, then you just can't miss North Georgia Business Radio X, and we're out. Thank you so much for UNG. No doubt.
You've been listening to North Georgia Business Radio X with Phil Vanelli. What local business do you know that should be highlighted on our program? Let us know. Just search North Georgia Business Radio X on Facebook or contact Bo at businessradiox.com. See you next time, and remember to support our local businesses.